13 before 9, you're listening to Sabahul Muslim. Anger. Anger is, you know, if you look at anger, it's something that we all experience. I think no one can say that they don't get angry. And in fact, I do recall my ustad saying clearly that if you don't get angry, there's something wrong with you. The objective when it comes to anger is not to avoid anger, but rather to swallow anger when it does occur, to control it. When it hits you. Nevertheless, in relation to this, I do have with me on the line a psychologist, Sharika Angamia. Sharika, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
How are you keeping this morning?
Alhamdulillah,
can't complain. Alhamdulillah. So yes, anger, what are the emotions behind anger?
So, in my experience, although anger is usually seen as one of the primary emotions like fear, sadness, and happiness, as human beings, anger is actually a lot more complicated, and it's usually a secondary emotion, meaning, like you said, lots of emotions that are behind it. So, anger is used to mask other painful emotions like shame, guilt, embarrassment, disappointment, those types of emotions. But what many people don't realize is that anger is actually a secondary emotion. So typically, one of those primary emotions, like fear or sadness, can be found behind anger. So fear includes things like anxiety and worry and sadness. It comes from the experience of loss, disappointment, and discouragement. So feeling fear and sadness is quite, how would I say, it's an uncomfortable feeling for most people because it makes them feel vulnerable and not in control. So because of this, people tend to avoid these feelings in any way that they can, and they do this by shifting into an anger mode. So in contrast to feelings of sadness and fear, anger can provide energy that makes you feel more in charge of a situation and helps you to feel less vulnerable or helpless. So essentially, anger it's a means of creating a sense of control and power in the face of vulnerability and uncertainty. So like if I can give you an example.
Yes.
Fight. They get very angry with each other. But sometimes beneath that anger, there's a fear of loss, there's a fear of abandonment, and that actually fuels the anger instead of it escalating anger with each other. So in this instance, it's a combination of those primary emotions instead of anger. But just to add to that, while having some sense of control, it's associated with greater emotional well-being, an excessive need for control only leads to suffering in people. So it's impossible to always be in control, and that's why, you know, when you're striving for control over other people's behavior, you end up feeling a lot of distress and a lot of anger.
Quite interesting. Now, when we speak of anger, are there different types of anger?
Gee, definitely. We identify three types of anger which shape how people react to situations. The first type of anger is passive aggression, which is basically when people don't want to admit that they're angry. They find non-confrontational ways of it, of expressing their anger. So this comes out in things like being silent when you're angry, sulking, procrastinating, maybe pretending that everything's fine. And this also arises out of the need to be in control of a situation instead of losing control. The second type of anger is open aggression. And that, on the other hand, is when people have the tendency to lash out, become very angry, experience rage. They tend to become physically or verbally aggressive, and they often tend to hurt themselves or others. So if you think of instances of fighting, bullying, accusations, shouting, all those types of things, that's open aggression. And then the final type of anger is the most adaptive and most healthy type of anger, and that's assertive anger. And that's basically the healthy way to deal with anger because it means that you're in control, you're confident, you're talking and listening, and you're open to dealing with the situation in a cooperative way. So this assertive type of anger helps you to actually grow relationships. It means basically thinking before you speak, being confident in how you say things, yet being open and flexible to hearing the other side of the story. So it means, you know, instead of lashing out, being patient, not raising your voice, using your communication skills to express how you're feeling, and really trying to understand what the other person is feeling. So when you deal with anger assertively, you actually demonstrate maturity and you demonstrate care for the relationships as opposed to hurting the relationships.
Hmm. And can a psychologist help with anger?
Definitely, 100%. So there are ways to learn to, sort of strategies to help you to control your anger. But sometimes people do need extra help when the anger is basically makes their life dysfunctional. So psychologists can help people recognize and avoid the triggers that make them angry. They can also help to provide ways to help people to manage anger that flares up without warning. So psychologists can help with uncontrolled anger, even though it's hard to explain, hard to define. Unlike depression and anxiety that people usually recognize as a problem, uncontrolled anger doesn't have a diagnosis, so people don't really realize that they have an anger problem. But nevertheless, anger can be very dysfunctional and really disrupt people's lives. And people who experience it don't realize what a big problem it can be in the short term and in the long term. So, for example, in the short term, blowing up and shouting at your kids or your spouse might seem like a good strategy if it results in them doing what you want. Losing your temper at work might feel like it's productive because it gets your coworkers to do things your way. Unfortunately, people often fail to see long-term consequences of uncontrolled anger. And even on the physical side of things, uncontrolled anger can lead to things like high blood pressure, increased risk of heart disease, and just a general social disharmony amongst friends, family members, and coworkers. So basically, what the psychologist does is we kind of look at your relationships and figure out, is anger really a problem for you? At that point, when you come to the psychologist, you usually know something's wrong, but it's a bit difficult to understand. So if, you know, a person is constantly told by their family and friends that their anger is a problem, if they're having constant problems with coworkers, if they're no longer welcome at certain establishments because of fighting, if they feel angry more often than not, those types of, openly being aggressive or violent, those are real issues that psychologists can help with because it's disrupting your everyday life. We use a type of therapy called CBT therapy, cognitive behavioral therapy, because that helps people to identify the unhelpful and negative thought patterns and beliefs that lead to, anger outbursts. Along with that, we do family therapy, couples therapy to help with conflict resolution. But basically, there's a lot that a psychologist can help you with to resolve anger and to just learn to manage it better.
Quite interesting. Now, besides the assistance from a psychologist, how does one curb anger?
So, aside from therapy, there's a lot of, there's a lot of stuff that you can do at home, on your own, skill development and things like that. But basically what we use is three basic strategies. So I'm sure many people have learned about relaxation strategies, deep breathing, counting, all those types of things. There's a lot of information, a lot of literature about it that can, it's the sort of things that you can do at home. So meditation, mindfulness, all those types of things are strategies that people can use. Cognitive therapy, like I mentioned, is another way that we help by helping people to find alternative ways of thinking when they are thinking about their anger. But basically, your main way to learn to curb anger is by developing your skills, so learning new behaviors. So, for example, a parent might need to find better ways of communicating with their child as opposed to screaming and shouting. So, finding, different strategies, maybe time out, things like that, taking a step back from the situation, distraction, all those types of things. Those are all skill development that you need to find based on your specific situation. If your problem is work with your coworkers, you need to find a distraction, those types of things that will help you to curb your anger. Of course, there's also, your religion is a huge way to help you because those types of, strategies are also very, very helpful. As much as our religion is very important, it's also a very important coping skill because it emphasizes patience, keeping your cool, those types of things. So using your religion as a coping skill, what you know as meditation, those things are very, very important to learning to curb your anger.
It's quite interesting. Sharika, Jazakallah for your time. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reward you for your insights. And we hope to chat again soon, inshallah.
Ameen. Jazakallah for having me.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Alaikum salam.